At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Greasy Pigeon Podcast. I am your host, Jeff Sullivan, and with me, as always, right there, the Canadian this week, Kevin Trusler. Kevin, say what up to the people.
Oh, Canada. What up, people? Let's do this.
Big.
We need to redeem ourselves here. Redeem.
Big international festival afoot. We are recording this the day before the Four Nations tournament kicks off, and we're going to start our show today talking a little bit Four Nations, and then we're going to be joined by a guest coming up shortly that's going to give us his insight on his high school and pre-junior career in New England hockey, a little different angle than what we take, Kevin, from time to time. But before we get there, let's get into all the things around Four Nations, U.S., Canada, Sweden, Finland. Johnny Terho broke down the European game so well for us the other day, talking about how they always show up to play. Some injury concerns for the Finns, some goaltending concerns for Canada. Where do you start with what's about to happen?
Well, they don't have the luxury of starting slow in a tournament like this. They literally, you got to have your A game from game one. And, it's going to be interesting. I know Canada is going to be rotating their goaltending to see who's going to, take the lead. I think we touched base on it a little bit last time, where that seems to be, sort of the Achilles heel, if you will, for the Canadian squad. But I mean, if you look at the roster, they are so deep. You hope that you can outscore some of the teams that they're going to be playing there. So, tough task at hand. Game one against Sweden tomorrow. Looking forward to it. I should be able to watch that without trying to bootleg or stream something that I don't have in my regular cable network.
You got to watch out for those computer viruses trying to watch the hockey there when you don't subscribe to the service nowadays and figure out which service you need nowadays. But I digress. You know, talking about Team Canada, let's just start there. The pundits all say it's their tournament to lose. And when you look at their roster top to bottom on paper, I mean, like we said before, it's an all-star game. I mean, their line combinations this week at practice, you know, there was some talk that maybe Crosby would play with McDavid and Mitch Marner on the top line. I've seen some that had McDavid, McKinnon, and Reinhardt or Crosby going with them, right? But now you're playing the center wing thing. So basically, yesterday morning, their line rushes at practice had Reinhardt with McDavid and Mitch Marner, Stone, Crosby, McKinnon, Point, Brad Marchand, and Seth Jarvis on the third line, and then your Hagel and Sorelli combo from Florida with Bennett on the fourth line wing. I mean, talk about just grit and determination and scoring touch top to bottom. Good luck.
Yeah, I mean, again, right? It's going to be if they can figure out to play whatever role is going to be asked of them. Obviously, there's firepower throughout each of those lines. But as we've seen in previous global tournaments, if you are that natural goal scorer, sometimes you'll be asked to become more of a role player, so to speak. So, I'm interested. I know, as far as the nation of Canada goes, they pride themselves on hockey and being the nation that hockey is key. And after the showing in the World Juniors, there's going to be a lot of eyes on this squad to hopefully bring back a gold to the Great White North.
Yeah, and I think everyone agrees with that. The problem is that lineup I think is put together to outscore their opponents, and I know that's how every hockey game works. But what I mean by that is there's some question marks in the crease with Canada that don't exist with the U.S., right? And we'll break down the goalies here in a second. But before you get to the goalie, you got to go through the defense. And one thing that hasn't been talked about a lot that I haven't seen anyway that I think is important, your top D pair for Team Canada is Devin Taves and Cale Makar, teammates in Colorado, line mates in the Four Nations. That chemistry is there right out of the gate, right out of Jump Street. First puck drop, they're going to know each other. They're going to know how they play. That is an advantage early on in this tournament that Canada could get some points out of, right from Jump Street, so to speak, that you know, could help them in a tight game against Sweden in game one, because there's, other than Hagel and Sorelli also on Canada playing together on the same line, everything else is in a blender. So just, you know, talk through that confidence when you look to your left or to your right, and you know exactly what that guy's going to do.
Well, I think the big thing, you know, look, Sidney, Crosby and MacKinnon have a past of playing together. I know Marchand has played with Sid the Kid before as well. So there could be some movement there and have the all Nova Scotia line going. But you're right. I mean, the fact that you played with someone before, they're on your team, you've got that chemistry, you know where everyone is. That's a huge plus in any of these teams that have line mates that have played together and worked together in the past. You're getting over that hump of, you know, trying to learn the intricacies of each other's game and where does someone like to be and all that fun stuff. So yeah, that's a huge plus. We'll harp on it until they make us not harp on it. It's going to be on the back end. Defense wins championships, right? So
it does. And this is, you know, for those of you listening out there that are in the youth hockey gauntlet right now and have played youth and have put kids through youth hockey, I should say, and even still are playing junior hockey or high level, you know, AAA, AA. This is a typical round robin four team tournament. You're going out there. Everyone plays everybody. The top two teams playing the championship game at the end for the trophy, right? Like it's as youth hockey as it gets. Everyone understands the rules. One bad loss, one starting late, you know, one overtime loss, and you're out, right? Your tiebreakers, and I'm sure that all exists. And I didn't dive into the sixth tiebreaker as Sammy Terho would get into, and we'd have the charts out on losing on, you know, how many shots hit the glass versus hit the net, and that's your tiebreaker you lose on. Hopefully it doesn't come down to that, but that's literally what we're playing in. And to compare the Team Canada lineup to the Team USA lineup, you know, Connor Eichel and Matt Tkachuk is your projected top line. You know, Getzel, Matthews, Hughes, I think that's a great line for your second line there. And then Brady Tkachuk down on your third line. I'm curious, do you think there's anything to putting the Tkachuk brothers on the same line? I know that maybe elevating Brady, or it may be dropping, you know, Matthew in some circles if they look at it that way. But, you know, again, talk about knowing the other guy and being confident with that guy across from you. Those guys have played more hockey together, I'm sure, than any other players in the whole tournament. Just your thoughts on kind of the U.S. lineup, but then also maybe that Tkachuk connection.
Well, I think that's, you know, you can start with what they have listed, right? And you can always go back to the old faithful of two siblings playing together. It all depends, you know, if there's no chemistry with it being such a short tournament and a condensed tournament, you don't have time to see if it's going to work itself out. So I would imagine that the message in all the rooms is going to be, hey, you know, we're going to start with this, but be prepared. Things could be moved around rather quickly, specifically if a team gets off to a slow start. You know, who knows what happens if there's discipline issues, and penalties going to play a key role in, you know, ice time as well, because not everyone's going to be on the PK or power play for that matter, right? So again, I think listening to something on the radio and online, having the Tkachuk brothers in your back pocket to put them on a line together is definitely a nice problem to have. You know that they will complement one another. You know, I don't know who is going to be the biggest rat when it comes to it, if they're on there together, but it would be fun to see. That's for sure.
Well, and you're going to get some of that between, you know, Marchand and Tkachuk and whatever, when those teams play each other, it's just not going to go away. You think of what these power plays are going to look like, and no one quite knows, but you know, Canada, you're going to have Crosby, McDavid, Reinhart, MacKinnon, and I think Makar was one of the rushes and on PP1. I mean, geez, man, like watch out there. So that's going to be all over the place, right? But we've talked about goaltending, and I do want to hit on that here before we move on. Hill, Aiden Hill, Jordan Binnington, and Sam Montembeau for Canada. I think you told me before we started that Binnington, it's been announced he is going to get the start game one versus Sweden over Aiden Hill. They're the same goalie this year. They're both right around a 900. They're both in the 2.5 range for goals against. They both played the same number of games. They're both what they are. But when you compare that to Connor Hellebuck on the U.S. side, who will be the far and away number one on that roster, you know, he's at a 206 and a 925 this season. That's a half a goal basically better than the other two goalies a game, and a save percentage that I know doesn't 0.025 doesn't seem like a lot, but that's a big number when it comes to shots on goal. The U.S. back end is the strongest in the tournament. I still don't know if it's going to be enough to compare to Canada.
Well, I mean, if we look at pedigree, right, you've got Stanley Cup winners in net that are goaltending for Canada. And, Hellebuyck, he's a heck of a goalie, but he hasn't gotten the Jets over the hump. Not saying that that's his fault by any means, but, cup, someone who can win a cup, has won a cup, has done it before, versus someone who hasn't, is always going to be, the debate's always going to be there. So, this is Connor Hellebuyck's time to shine. I hope he has a lights out tournament because he's a heck of a goaltender. And, I hope that carries on for Winnipeg's sake as well.
Yeah, I agree. And he's always gotten to the next level as far as playoffs go. And Winnipeg hasn't got over that hump yet. So I think some of that may follow Connor Hellebuyck around. His D core in front of him is solid. But, it has to be, the games have to be played. It all looks good on paper. Just ask the Chiefs how their game plan looked on paper before that game got underway, right? You never know. That's why you play the games. But Kev, when it comes to the Four Nations, try to take the maple syrup hat off. What do you think is going to happen with this tournament the next 2 weeks here?
Yeah, so like honest broker, it can go to either one of these teams, right? I'm never going to count out the Finns or the Swedes specifically. Look at the body of work that they've done here over the years, both at the Olympic level and then obviously the World Juniors. The US riding a high of their junior national team winning the gold medal. There's some good things there that they can lean on. I think it truly comes down to which goaltender can get hot, stay hot, and what team can keep this awesome firepower that everyone has at bay. I think that's going to be the key right there.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. And I think that at the end of the day, the U.S. team is going to put it all together, led by their goaltending. I think they're going to have to win some games. I am counting Sweden and Finland out altogether. I think Finland, they've just got injury issues. I just don't see them, they're going to put up tough games. They're not going to get blown out or anything. They belong in the tournament. I don't think they're going to go anywhere. I think it's going to come down to the two North American teams again. But like I said, one bad game or one bad goal, you're out early is the whole thing. So we'll have to wait and see. The tournament kicks off Wednesday night. Game one goes through the weekend and into next week. And Kev, I'm sure we'll recap the tournament as we get through it and into future shows. But our guest has joined, so we're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we'll be joined by Nick Bishop from Londonderry High School Hockey when we return to the Nest. Welcome back, everybody. We are joined by a special guest today, a blast from my past and a blast from my son Sully's past. His name is Nick Bishop. Nick is a forward with the Londonderry Lancer High School hockey team out of Londonderry, New Hampshire. He also plays split season 16 and 18 AAA, probably 18 now, I guess. All these kids are growing up faster than I think they are, Kev. I still remember Nick when he was playing U8s up there in New Hampshire. But really happy to have Nick join us in the Nest. We don't get to talk a lot of New England hockey. So Nick, and Kevin, full disclosure, Nick is recording this tonight. He has a game later. So we're in his pregame routine right
Oh
now, getting
man.
him
Oh,
on.
I'm practiced later.
Oh,
Tomorrow's a game.
okay. I thought you had a game later. I was like, wow, this guy's
Oh,
doing his,
no.
he's doing his media pregame. This guy's a pro.
We're not that special, buddy. No way.
Absolutely. Nick, man, appreciate you coming on, taking some time, man, and
No
welcome to
problem.
the Greasy Pigeon Podcast.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for
Absolutely.
having me.
Absolutely, buddy. So like I kind of said in the intro, right, I've known you for a long time. We played hockey with you for a long time, but we always like to start and ask our guests that are playing at a higher level now, where did you start? When did you start? What was that like? Just it really helps those that are coming up through the process now understand that it's not built in a day, that you don't have to be the best 8-year-old to be the best 18-year-old. What was your youth and starting out kind of hockey career? What did that look like?
Well, starting out, basically, I started doing learn to skates for about a year to 2 years. And then I went to a tryout for the New Hampshire Avalanche 05 team, which is two above the age group. Sully, you probably remember the story. And my dad told me, listen, you're probably not going to make the team, just get there, get some experience. And but I ended up making the team. So it was my first year, probably 2, 3 years into playing hockey. I was skating and playing in actual games. So I think that helped my development a lot.
Playing with the older, with you, how did they take to you being 2 years younger? Was there a coming to moment? So, whoa, these kids are 2 years older and probably bigger at that time, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I was definitely sitting in a locker room and everyone being way bigger than me. And they weren't like, you know, pushy, like they took me under their wing kind of as like a little brother on the team basically, and I still talk to some of them today. So
yeah, how many years did you play up? Like that was your first year, right? Did you play with them again in the coming seasons or
no? So they made an 07 team after that, so then I played on that 07.
Yeah, Nick graduated from Learn to Skate earlier than the other kids that were, you know, still in that learn to play age, I should say, and had an extra year plus at Mites and up north, and Nick can tell these stories better than I can. It was a combination of cross ice and full ice still at that time. This was before they went full cross ice. So, I mean, Nick, we were playing 60, 70 games a season at Mites, which was like your third year of Mites, our first year, and we were playing all over the place. So it's Nick's had a lot of hockey in his time based on starting out ahead of the curve, so to speak. But Nick, so with that, you know, you start early. You know, you go through the Avs, learn to skate, learn to play program. You start playing with them and then you continue play, and they play in the very challenging, it's now called the E9, the Boston Hockey League, the Elite Nine. It's all AAA teams, your top dogs, your Boston Advantages, your Junior Terriers, your 95, just the list goes on and on, right? How did that time playing up there, Nick, really help you refine your game? You were always a natural, you know, you are a natural goal scorer. You're fast. You have size on the ice. You're not afraid to take the hit, give the hit. Did you learn all that during that time? Was that later in your game? Just how did that development go for you as you got older?
I feel like playing in the E9, BHA, that really helped because it's playing against higher competition, like better players, like with the level teams, all the level teams, they were always good. I feel like that prepped me for older hockey. Hockey's always been rough, but like the higher the levels are, is the more physical, more demanding it gets for players.
So Nick, like, was hockey, obviously that's your passion, that's your first choice sport. Did you do anything in the off season? Were you one that hung the Jets up for at least a month or two and then did something else, or talk a little bit about that?
So I'm on a tournament team from New Hampshire. It's called the Nor'easters. We play in like 2 or 3 tournaments a year, but I also golf, so that kind of helps with hockey.
So you're at least a two sport athlete when it comes to that. Yeah. Okay.
Well, and Nick did play some lacrosse back in the day.
Yep.
I do remember. I do. Do you still play some lacrosse now?
Yeah.
So there you go. Yep. So that's another. And the reason we bring that up, Nick, is we talk a lot in the past about getting away from the rink for at least some period of time. Like, we all understand that as you get to the higher levels, you have to get on the ice during. You can't take 5 months off. You know, back in Kevin's day, they rolled up the ice. They made him play basketball. They had little shorty shorts on and the high white socks. It was a different era back then.
Yeah.
But nowadays, you know, you have to stay out on the ice, stay active, but to get away from the ice. And like you said, golf is becoming huge. I mean, it always has been, but it's just exploding with the younger hockey, you know, kid, so to speak, age group. And then lacrosse, especially in New England. In Florida, lacrosse isn't as big with the hockey community as in other places. But I mean, we know a couple players and friends of ours that have given up hockey altogether and are playing D1 college lacrosse. That were standouts on the ice. AJ Young, Aaron True is another one. Literally kids that were amazing on the ice. You're like, oh, this kid's going to go places. Yeah, he did in lacrosse. So it just goes to show you to, you know, venture outside. What do you find is your favorite thing to just unplug with? Is it video games? Is it just taking a nap? Like, what is the Nick Bishop like, I got to get away from this for a minute. What does that look like for you?
Oh, I don't really like getting away from it, but if I had to, I mean, I'm a stick taping kind of guy, so I'll sit on the couch in my spare time and I'll tape my stick because, you know, I don't know, just like taping my stick. It's a good pastime for me.
What's the weapon of choice? What are you shooting with? What kind of stick?
A Bauer Twitch. I love the Twitch.
Little plug to Bauer. Yeah, I like it.
We'll take the samples, but that's just it. You know, gamers and hockey guys, right? Like the guys that like to get away versus the guys that don't, that eat you know, eat, sleep, breathe the sport, right? And your downtime is still being involved. And Sully's the same way, and Carter is the same way. Like when they're in and on it, they're in and on it. There's nothing else around it, right? So it's just one of those things. Just to hear, you know, Kev, the difference is kind of just comical.
Yeah, I mean, well, there's guys that, you know, sometimes they like to pick up a guitar and, you know, play, strum, you name it, right? So it's nice to have that little getaway. Absolutely. Nick, as far as the landscape of New Hampshire hockey with travel versus high school, it's completely different than what it is down here in Florida, where, you know, they will say that they tend to not play as nice because the seasons are during the same time frame. So, you know, it's usually travel is your number one priority. And if you can make it to the high school game in time, then away you go. But I understand things are a lot different up there. Can you provide us with a timeline as to when one starts, when one finishes? And, you know, I guess it's, are you playing against guys that you're on the same high school team with, that they could be on a different travel team?
Yeah. So for, it's called split season, and it starts in August, and you basically try out for a travel team that lasts up until two weeks before Thanksgiving, and you play like regular season, you have playoffs. Usually you tend to play with high school kids from in the area. So my split season team, the Cyclones, we had, I think, 8 Lancers on our team, and the rest was made up of Manchester, Trinity, all those kids. And then right after Thanksgiving, high school starts. High school season tryouts start, and then we had our first game December 22nd or 23rd. So it's a good chunk of time. So instead of just sitting there waiting for high school season to start, you can have a season to get used to, get back to playing from summer.
So wait, how many practices a week in the high school league are you doing, and how many games, and when does that cap, and when do you go back to the travel then in the new year?
The split season actually ends around Thanksgiving, but if you make nationals or regionals or whatever, you play after the high school season. I think we play 18 games in the season, and we practice every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, provided we don't have a game. And then Thursday is lifting and film, and Friday is practice, and then Saturdays are games. So our only really technically day off is Sunday.
Wow.
I honestly didn't know that, Nick, that you guys at the high school level up there, because you're Division I, New Hampshire, and the NHIAA, I'll spare you the words, the NHIAA Division I, I didn't realize the extent that it's legit, I'll call it, in the sense of what I mean by that is practice, game, film, lifting, more practice, more game, like... That's a full out schedule. I'm shocked to hear that, Nick. That's got to be awesome for a guy like you that wants to be around the game so much. Are the times good? I know, like, you have a practice later tonight that's late.
Yeah,
what the times look like? Is that what they all are?
So usually Monday and Friday are right after school at that 3:44 time frame, and then Tuesdays and Wednesdays are usually 7:20, 8:20, or 9:20, which is not ideal, but at least we're practicing.
Any 5 a.m.ers during the season at all?
Oh, no, thank God. I would not get up for that.
Yeah, they don't do that really that much anymore. In certain areas, I know it's still, you know, it's still going on. But yeah, I grew up and it was the 5 a.m.ers. They're terrible. I couldn't imagine coaching those, let alone, you know, when I was there practicing. So...
No, absolutely not. But Nick, Londonderry has had some major success since you've been on the team. Last year, which was the 2024 season, you guys won your first state title. And as a school, you were on that team. You were part of that. You were part of the run. You weren't just, you know, in the suit. You were out there. You were helping the boys. What was that experience like for you, being on that roster, being with that group of boys, you know, going all the way, win the state title, meeting the governor after the fact and all that, you know, what, just walk us through what that was like for you. What was that experience like?
You know, it's always fun to win your first championship for the school and have everybody behind you. One of the first things that we sat down as a team at our first film, we put a goal on the board, and it was championship. And what we're going to have to do step by step, and things to stick by to win a championship, because we felt that we had the team to win a championship.
What type of team was it? Did you guys come out of the gate strong? Was there some, not sure what your record was, but was there some adversity throughout the season that you can look to as to, the time that the team really started to turn things around?
So we had in high school hockey, and for New Hampshire at least, you need depth. So you need to have two solid lines with a third you can rely on. We had all four lines you could rely on. I mean, it was a good team, and it was a well-bonded team. I feel the adversity we went through, we turned it around after our second Wyndham game, which was right after Warriors event, where we lost 4-0. We really showed a lot of emotion that game against Wyndham and didn't play to where we should have been playing. So then when we played him again in the championship, we turned it around and won the game.
Do you play teams like, is it twice in a season and then possibly a third, or how does that work?
So we play Concord twice this year. We play Pinkerton twice this year. So it varies based off your schedule and what year you've played which teams.
Yeah, Kim, I
Gotcha.
believe I was looking at the schedule and the standings earlier, and I don't think I have it up anymore, but basically there's more teams than games, so they play an unbalanced schedule where some teams get a double dip based on, the draw or the rotation or whatever it is. So you may get lucky and play the bottom of the barrel one year, but then you may have to play the Concords and Wyndhams and Pinkertons of the world, which are typically, year over year, near the
Up on
top
the
of
table.
the
Yeah.
division. Yeah. So Nick, I know they play the finals, or I should say, I think they play the finals at the arena in Manchester. Was that
Yeah.
still the Verizon Wireless at this point, or is it?
No, they changed. Snoo took ownership
That's
of
right, the
it. Now
Snow
Snoo.
Arena. That's right. They did
Yeah.
that a few years ago. So apologies to Southern New Hampshire University. What crowd big? A lot of people? Was it a full house? Like, what
Yeah,
did that look
there's.
like?
You know how they have those sections? We filled up about 3/4 of that section for our student section.
Very nice.
So, I mean, it was a great atmosphere to play in, and Wyndham had the same thing. So it's just, I think it was the most people besides the White Up for Warriors game that I've played in front of.
That's awesome. It's awesome that you get that. And we've seen some of that much smaller level, but there was a few teams down here that would draw for high school nights. And when those student sections I mean, Kev, what are we talking? Maybe 50 kids, in our arenas watching a regular Friday night game. But
50, maybe 100 between two if you've got two bigger schools, but nothing I would imagine to the level that is
no,
up there in the Northeast.
but Nick, put 50 or 100 kids in a rink like JFK, right? Like a
Yeah.
smaller barn like that, the place is going to be rocking, right? And
Yeah, yeah.
that's that vibe that we had on the Friday nights for some. And then other games you go and there's the moms and dads watching from behind the glass, with from the bar, and then that was your only crowd you had. So it's hit or miss
Yeah.
everywhere, but it's a great experience that you guys, got to do that in front of your student section, do that in front of the fans, have that experience. And you were part of it, and I've actually watched some of your games on Live Barn that I've been able to catch this year. I know it's not the start to the season that you guys want. It's a drop off from last year, being honest at least from the wins and losses standpoint.
Yeah.
What do you got? What's happening between the boards this year that you guys are building on? What is not there? Is it just a talent turnover and you have a younger team and you're growing? Is it somebody else's teams just got better? What are you seeing now as a upperclassman on that team trying to drive the bus, so to speak, to help, get the best season you can out of the Londonderry Lancer High School program?
I think it's trying to mold the younger guys into the players that we know we can make them be. Like playing more physical, shooting more puck. We do not shoot the puck at all. I think we have periods where we have three or four shots, and then our third period is 18-0 in shots for us. So we need to play a full complete game and mold into a more gritty team, as we don't have as much skill as last year, but we still have some skill. And we just need to win more puck battles and get more shots.
Did you have many seniors that graduated from last year? And, how many seniors are on this year's team?
I think there's five seniors on this year's team, but the seniors we lost last year were a huge part of the team. We had probably, Jeff, Owen Carey, he got drafted the Atlanta Braves, play hockey.
Okay.
He was there. Jaden Hamilton was there. Big parts of the team. Our goalie left. He was a senior. He graduated. He was one of the best goalies in D1 last year. He now plays D2 college.
Nice.
So yeah, we lost some big assets to the team last year, but I think if we come together this year, we'll be fine. just as good as last year.
Just watch the tape of the third periods and then mold that into the first two,
Yeah,
right?
that's our coach's message. He's like, we got to play every game like we're down 2-0, 3-0.
It's amazing what the mindset is of that. But, you know, if you've got a young team and up and coming, sometimes they don't want to shoot. They can overthink. And, you know, the shot is, you know, never a bad thing if you can get it on net and, you know, cause some havoc. But yeah, you can't score if you don't shoot. So I get it. Totally get it.
True story. Nick, we ask all of our players kind of this style question, because I call it pull back the curtain, right? Like, we all watch from the other side of the ice and we see you guys on the bench and we see you guys talk and we see what looks like maybe, you know, anger at each other, or the coach obviously, you know, and Kevin knows this all too well, the coach yelling at the players on the bench from behind when they're not doing what they want, right? But sometimes more than others. But what? Pull it back. So
other coaches, Nick. Other coaches,
Yeah, others. Yeah. What's your role on this team, right? What class are you, first of all, right? Like, so what's your age group on the team? What's your role on the team? Is your team built to be led from the players outward? Is it a coach down mentality? Like, I just, you know, pull back the curtain and give us all as if we're sitting next to you on the bench, you know, after a shift.
So I'm a class of 26. So I'm a junior this year. So my role on the team is, I think, to be like a leader and get points up on the board, be one of those people you can rely on to go in at certain times and not make those mistakes that others might, and be relied on to go out there and score goals.
Nick, that's kind of a change for you in the sense of, you were always, and still are, a natural goal scorer. Your role was to be a top line scorer on every team that I've ever seen you play on. What is that like for you now? And we have a great friend. His name is Dimitri. Dimitri has won a Stanley Cup with the Tampa Bay Lightning. Dimitri was a Russian product that went to the Canadian major junior leagues at 15, 16, played great there, got drafted, right? So on and so forth, won a cup. He tells a great story that he's a fourth liner in the NHL. Like, he had to completely change his game because the need on that team was for him to be that kind of gritty player, go in the corner. That's what the team needed at that time. And not saying that's exactly what happened to you, but that same mindset applies, right? Natural goal scorer, gifted hockey player. Hey, I need you to go just play this nice little role over here, but contribute to the team. What is that like for you? How did you have to adjust to that mentally? Just, again, what is that like for you to have a different role now?
I mean, it's kind of just a different feel for the game. You know, you see it in a different spot. So instead of going down to the 2-on-1 where you have that goalie cheating a little bit, you make that pass over instead of missing the net wide, and you play as a leader and not going out and, you know, taking people's heads off and leading by that example, but instead sticking up for your teammates, goalies, and going out there talking to the refs, making sure everything's going fine.
Specifically when coach rips the younger teammate, you got to go in there and behind and be like, don't worry. Coach doesn't know what he's talking about. I got you.
We got a new coach this year. We got a brand new coach this year. So he's
an adjustment then. That's,
well, so we still have our head coach from last year. We got a new assistant coach and his son plays on the team, but his name's Jimmy Callahan, and he played AHL hockey and he played D1 at UMass Amherst. So he's been a huge addition.
I bet there's a wealth of knowledge there, right?
Yes.
And that's with steal with your eyes and ears and make it your own. There,
yeah.
A secret to life right there. So then split season, how did things go last year for split season? And how did that finish? And how, I guess your season's done right now, right? Unless you qualified to move on.
Yeah, ours, we didn't. So we played in upper gold last year for the Fed. Upper gold last year for the Fed. And then made the semifinals and lost to the Boston Junior Terriers. Can't get away from them.
Ever.
No. So then we played in Fed Platinum this year, and we missed playoffs by one spot. So that was kind of a letdown. But
what do they do playoffs there? Is it best 2 out of 3, 3 out of 5 type of deal?
No, it's single game elimination.
That's it, eh? Oh, man.
Yeah.
I miss the good old days where, I grew up in a small town in Canada, and like you would start in your local region, and it would be best 2 out of 3, and then you would move on, and 3 out of 5 would be the final. It wouldn't be a full 4-7 game series, but it gave the feel of, hey, you lose game one, your season's not done. You still have another chance to salvage it.
But no, Nick, man, we'll let you go. I know you gotta probably have a pre-practice meal and get some rest before you head to the rink. But again, we really appreciate taking the time and trying to, educate us and educate our guests on New Hampshire, New England hockey. We have a heavy Florida following, of course, right? Being down here, it's a completely different game. We talk about it. I shouldn't say it's not a different game. It's a different structure. The game is the game between the boards. Some days it's a heavy physical game. Some days it's a skill game. Some days the refs are involved, right? Some days you're not. The game is the game, but all the things around it are different. The fact that you have two AAA leagues up in that area, right? The Fed you mentioned and the E9, and you've got different teams and you've got split season, and then there's high school and all the stuff that's different. It's really great for you to give us that insight onto what it all is and what it all means. And for me personally, it was a great little walk down memory lane with you and reliving some of the stuff from Mites and Squirts and Peewees and all that. So really appreciate you taking the time, Nick, and we wish you the best of luck the rest of the way with Lancer Hockey. And like I said, I'll be checking out the live barns when I can here and catching some of your games. And it's fun to watch. Your team's fun to watch. And
Thanks.
again, best of luck the rest of the way, bud.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
Pleasure meeting
You're
you,
welcome.
Nick. Good luck, bud.
Thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely. When we return, we'll button things up here in the nest. Well, Kev, it's awesome to talk to, another player from a whole different part of the country than the players we talk to. We have our connections with heavy Florida-based players, and now, with Mydell's Ducks connection, talking to some Midwestern players, and we've had the luxury of talking to some Florida players that are from different areas, right? But to talk to a New England hockey player, born and bred in New Hampshire, played his, learned to skate and learned to hockey and started his youth career with one organization up there in New Hampshire, and then now has branched out to play for multiple and play high school. It's crazy just to hear the similarities and the differences and what that's like. And, you coming from an entirely different area of hockey, a whole different country and a whole different upbringing. It's got to resonate with you a little bit just on, again, the game is the game inside the boards, but outside the boards, it's all over the place.
Yeah, what's interesting is just, again, how the travel season and the high school season, they find a way to play nice with one another, and I can only imagine that just makes the competition of both leagues that much better to watch and better to play, and it's going to grow more kids to move them up however far they want to go. The competition is there in both sides, where down here in Florida, although competition is there, if you have a travel team that's playing in a tournament and there's high school games, then you're not going to be playing against the top talent in that particular game. That's just the reality of it. So it'd be nice to see Florida come up with some sort of system where they could play nice with one another and have that competition the best it can be, and grow the game, continue to grow the game.
Yeah,
So
competition breeds competition, and competition breeds growth, and growth, continually breeds new players and interest in the game. And that you see all sorts of things in the pro level, that viewership is down this year in the NHL, and people are watching the game less. And Biz is out there talking about how to make the game better and what to do. And I think the game's got some room for improvement at the pro level, but the only way, the best way to ensure the game has longevity is to make sure people are interested in the game. Baseball has lived this transition over the last 5 years or so and is coming out better now that they made some changes. People are interested in the game again. Little league numbers are going up. USA Hockey doesn't have a youth problem. The problem with USA Hockey and hockey in general is it's so regional. There's X percent of all the registrations between Boston, Chicago, and Minnesota. And then everywhere else kind of fills in around the gaps, right? And well, you look down here and how much hockey has grown in the Tampa area, and you go to Phoenix, you go to Dallas, you go to these non-traditional markets, it's growing. Its roots are still in the cold weather areas, obviously Canada, obviously the European nations, and in the States, like I just said, Minnesota, Chicago, and New England. In my experience in the New England side, Nick's existence up there and what he's had to live is exactly the way it is, where kids jump teams, they follow the name on the sweater. This year they have a good team, so everyone goes there next year, and it's not the same team, and that doesn't go away. and you're hurting the development at the younger ages. You want to be 18 and bounce around, you know, playing high level AAA or junior or academy and follow the dream. Have at it, right? That's your, you've cut the teeth. You've done the work. You're allowed to do that. You know, no questions asked. When you're 10, like, unless you hate the coach or the program's falling apart or you're not getting development, don't chase the wins and losses. It's so easy to do that up there, but you've got to just develop between the boards. And that's, I think, the part that's missing.
Yeah. I mean, it's, we see it down here where, you know, parents are willing to travel, you know, an hour and a bit to another organization when, you know, there's another rink that's right there. But, you know, we've talked about it previously, like it'd be nice to try and keep some of these kids in Florida to continue to grow Florida hockey. You know, if, not everyone has the means to send their kid up, you know, at 14 or 15, if you can keep that competition or those talented kids in state, it'd be interesting to see what the state of Florida, like how that looks for the rest of the leagues and the players, right? Because like you said, competition breeds competition, and you know, you want to play against the best. And you know, I understand doing that, like you said, at a more pivotal season, 15-16 and up, but for the 8-10-12U 14U, it'd be nice to see them be able to keep the talent in-house, so to speak.
Absolutely. And speaking of keeping the talent in-house, Kev, let's wrap this up. We talked Four Nations to start the show. We talked about our thoughts. Let's actually get off the fence, Mr. Trussler, and we're not here to have all four teams have fun. We're here to crown a champion. Who is going to win the 2025 version of the Four Nations?
I'm going with my home squad, man. I'm going with Canada. I'm going to go all chips in. I think the goaltending issue, if we say it's an issue, they're going to overcome that with the depth that they have in scoring and with the veteran presence of guys that have won cups or at least gone on deep playoff runs is going to bid well for them. And, you know, quite frankly, I think they got a chip on their shoulder from how the World Juniors turned out the past couple years. So hopefully it'll be Canada's time to shine. I think they play the U.S. in the final as well. I know that you said Sweden and the Finns are out. You're not out until you're out. But, you know, that's my prediction right there. I'll bet you a couple of bats on that one.
Sweden and Finland are out. Let's just start there. I'll get you my prediction in a moment, but I want to preface it by saying this. I'm curious as to, and we'll find this out very early, I'm curious as to what type of tournament this is going to be. Meaning, is this going to be the skills-based showcase we expect it to be, where games are 9-8? Or is this going to have a playoff feel? Like, are these guys playing to win, and then you're going to have 2-1 games? I still think the U.S. is going to be highly competitive. I still think their back end is probably the best in the tournament. My pick is the United States. Yes, that's a little homer, a very homer, of course. But I can't I can't logically pick the Swedes or the Finns to upset the U.S. I don't think they have the firepower to do it. Canada, I know, is an all-star team. But again, I think their goaltending is suspect. Now, Binnington goes on a roll or Hill goes on a roll, then they've got the whole package and watch out. But if it's a tight tournament, if it's not a skills competition sort of tournament and Canada has to win games 3-2, 2-1, then I think they're in trouble. And that's where the U.S. can overtake them.
Yeah, I would agree. I think they got probably more of that grit. You know, Sam Reinhart, maybe Marchand you can put in there. Travis Konecny, you know, there are guys that can get down and dirty. Can they compete with the Tkachuks of the world and some of the back end that Team USA has? Who knows? You know, it will be interesting. I think, you know, once the skates touch the ice, you always want to win. And there's always that competitive rivalry. So, you know, if it becomes fire wagon hockey, then I think the team that's losing is going to try and muddy it up a little bit and make it tougher for the other team to get in their end and score, you know?
And for the next 6 days, I get to be the biggest Matthew Tkachuk fan on the face of the earth because he plays the game the way I love the game played.
Yeah.
But he wears a sweater that I don't mind rooting for the Panthers and the Bruins are out, all things considered. But when he's playing the Bruins, I can't stand watching him play the Bruins, right? So he's the guy you hate to play against and you want on your team. Well, I get him on my team this, you know, for the next 6 days. So I'm going to be very happy to watch Matthew Tkachuk make Sidney Crosby and Nathan MacKinnon and Brad Marchand's life pretty miserable wearing the red, white, and blue.
Yeah, I'll leave with this. Like, let's hope that no one gets hurt. because, you know, that's just a devastating loss for the NHL team and for those fans of those teams if that happens, you know. Hopefully it's good, hard, clean, fun to watch hockey, and you know, it'll be we'll see. We'll see in what, a couple weeks. That starts tomorrow and
Starts tomorrow, goes for 6 days, and the champions crown next week, and we'll have to wait and see what it looks like. Kevin, I will take your bet on a little bit, a couple cold ones, and we'll see what happens as this thing kicks off and we're in for a good one. So appreciate your time today, Kev, as always. Great job, great show. Keep it up, bud. We'll see you on the next one. Cheers, everyone.